Welcome to Free College Can Happen to You, where we can answer all your questions about getting college for free.
What's the best SAT prep material?
How do I use the SAT to get free college?
What do I need to do to get scholarships?
Here's your host, Jean Burke with College Prep Genius, the no-brainer way to SAT success.
Hi, this is Jean Burke with College Prep Genius. Today I'm going to talk about free college at your fingertips. And if you haven't done so already, go and download the handout that will go with this radio show at collegeprepgenius.com/fingertipsradio. So collegeprepgenius.com/fingertipsradio. Very excited today because I'm going to talk about a lot of different ways that students can go to college for free. I know that college is one of the biggest expenses, and in many cases, sometimes it takes as much as 20 years or two decades of someone's life to pay off college loans. And a lot of people use that excuse of not going to college because of the cost. But today, hopefully, I'm going to be able to show you a bunch of different avenues that you can use when planning out for your student to go to college. And I'm going to have some homework at the end. I'm also going to show you how to download my ebook, 15 Secrets to Free College. The first thing I want to talk about today is the cost of college. So how many of you out there have around $80,000 saved up for college per kid? You know, we didn't either. And you know, $80,000 is not even the high-end range of college. $80,000, $90,000 is somewhere around the mid-range price of a private university. Certainly, you can get some state schools that are less. You can get Ivy League schools that are more. But $80,000 will put you somewhere in that mid-range price for, let's say, a private university that your child may be thinking about going. So how in the world can your child get this kind of money? Well, I'll give you some ideas. First of all, they could work at a fast food restaurant like McDonald's, work about 13,000 hours, and that's going to take them probably around 12 years to save up that kind of money. So start them in kindergarten. That way, when they graduate, they'll have their money for college. They could mow 3,200 lawns, and that's probably going to take around 64 summers. They could spend 2,500 Friday nights babysitting, and that's going to take about 48 years. But, of course, there is a better way, an easier way, and that is scholarships. Scholarships are money that your child can earn, and they don't have to pay them back like you would on a loan. So let's talk about the first way to earn scholarships, and that is what I call Ace the SAT Monster. Now, if you haven't listened to my radio show, How to Ace the SAT, it is where I go in step by step and show students how they can treat this test as a logic test that it is and learn how to answer every question in 30 seconds or less. So if you haven't listened to that, please, by all means, do that. So why is this test so important? Well, the reason why this test is so important is because colleges go up on their rankings nationally based on their test scores. So the higher the score, the more money they get, because ultimately the student will make them look good. So that's why they covet students with high test scores. And it pretty much levels the playing field for all students, because a 4.0 at one high school is not the same 4.0 at another high school. Every school weighs and calculates their scores differently, and so do homeschoolers. But the SAT is used not only for getting into college, but also for scholarships. Now, the reason why most students don't do well in this test has nothing to do with how smart they are, because many valedictorians, many kids in the top 10% bomb the test all the time. But it's a test of time management. The kids only get about a minute per question, so obviously most kids aren't going to finish on time. But the cool thing is you can answer every question in 30 seconds or less. Now, the SAT is close to 4 hours long, but it is a learnable test. And the good news is there's only one right answer. This test is objective, not subjective. But, of course, the questions are purposely misleading. They're designed to trick the kids. And the wrong answers look very appealing. But it does test the same basic set of standards and set of concepts every single time. Now, what I've done in the last 10 years is shown kids how that they can cut their time in half. We also teach them why the right answers are right and why the wrong ones are wrong. When we didn't have any money for college as a homeschooling family, and I learned that you could get free college based on a standardized test, that changed our life forever because we were able to get pretty much a full ride to just about any school we wanted to go to based on test scores. So I've been teaching other kids how to do that for about 10 years. So what are a few important facts about the SAT? Well, the most you can get is 800 per section or a total of 2,400. Now, it is offered 7 times a year. First one of the year is October. The last one is June. Now, the great news is there are no penalties for taking the SAT as many times as you want. I teach a lot of 6th grade, 7th grade students who take it early for programs like the Duke TIP. And the great news is it doesn't count toward anything else. And a lot of times, you know, counselors will often tell the students, you know, don't take the SAT more than a couple times because it's probably not a good idea. But that is not true. Colleges are just going to take the highest scores anyway. So keep taking it until you get the score that you want. That's the great thing about having what's called score choice, which does allow the kids to pick the scores they want and send them to the schools that they want whenever they want. And most colleges will give the student a super score. This is where they'll take a high score from different tests from different sections. So if your student, let's say, scored really high on a math section on one test, and then on another test scored really high on the critical reading section, then they will pull both of those scores together as a composite score and give them an overall higher score, which obviously will be more money for them. Now, to take the SAT, it's about $50, $52 right now. Most schools have what's called waivers, and these are available for homeschoolers as well. This is where you can have the cost deferred for the test, up to 4 free tests per junior and per senior year. You can also get waivers for the PSAT as well as the subject test. Now, as a homeschool, you would just talk to your local counselor at a school near you. Now, to sign up for the SAT, students will do it by mail or by the College Board website, which is collegeboard.com. Now, I want to talk about 3 myths about the SAT. Now, in my program, I go over about 13, but today I'm just going to touch on about 3 of them. Myth number 1, the SAT tests a student's knowledge. Well, it's stated on the very cover of the test that this is a reasoning test. And reasoning basically means it's logic or critical thinking. This test really has nothing to do with how smart your student is. That is why many smart students vomit. It really is a test of logic and recurring patterns. You can't study for this test. You have to study the test itself and how the College Board writes the questions and the answers. So once students can realize it's the same recurring patterns, same profile, same standards, then they can do very well in this test. Myth number 2, take the SAT in the senior year. Now, again, many counselors often tell the students to wait till the end of the junior year or the beginning of the senior year to take the SAT. The problem with that is, of course, that allows less time for the students to improve. And it does put a lot of pressure on those seniors who are thinking about graduating and college decisions and probably a part-time job and sports and homework and school. And there's so much going on. So my recommendation is do not wait till the senior year to start thinking about this test. Ideally, you can start taking it any age, any time. And if you can get it over with, let's say in the junior year, then that will free up your summer before the senior year, which gives you a chance to relax. The goal is to make the senior year test optional. If you don't quite get the score that you want, then you can still have that opportunity. Yes, students can still do well. Let's say if you have a senior right now. I've had kids go up 300 points in a week. But ideally, we don't want to put that pressure on them if we don't have to. All right, myth number 3, you have to spend large amounts of money to do well on the SAT. Or only the kids who have a lot of money are the ones who are really going to ace this test. Well, just because you spend a lot of money does not mean that your kids are going to improve. I've met many students over the years who have spent hundreds, even into the thousands of dollars, and oftentimes their scores go down. And that's because a lot of programs will teach the wrong thing. They teach a lot of content, learning thousands of vocabulary words and tons of math concepts. And again, there's nothing really wrong with that, those things. But that's not the key to acing this test. The key is just learning how to take the test. And of course, that doesn't necessarily have to cost a lot of money. I know we didn't have any money to spend on like a very expensive prep school. As we talk about the SAT, let me kind of touch on the ACT for a moment. A lot of students want to know, which one do I take and which school takes which test? Well, whether you're taking the SAT or the ACT, it does not matter. Every single college will take either one. They don't care. Now, both tests are used for college entrance, and they both are used to get scholarships. Now, the most you can get on the ACT is a 36. Now, they are different in the fact that the SAT is more logic-based and the ACT is more content-based. In other words, on the ACT, you are going to have some trigonometry and some science. But the good news is many of my students have used the strategies from my SAT prep program to do very well, even get a perfect score on the SAT, because there is critical thinking on the test. And of course, so there's a crossover of information. So it doesn't matter which one your child takes. And if the college does prefer one over the other, what they will do is they'll convert the score. So in other words, an SAT score of 1300 is the same as an ACT score of 29, or vice versa. And of course, the great news is when a student learns test-taking strategies, they can use them on so many different tests. They're going to be testing the rest of their life, now, college, probably even at their job in the future. The great news is test-taking strategies can be applied to so many different tests, not just SAT or ACT, PSAT. Even the AP is made by the College Board. Even CEBIT tests are made by the College Board. My daughter even got free grad school because the GRE is also made by the College Board. My son also got free law school because the LSAT is just another logic test. I've had students get free med school. If you think about it, if you're going to become a doctor, you don't really know anything about medicine. That's why you're going to school. So just understand that you're not wasting your time when you learn how to take the test. And as homeschoolers, we've got to ace this test. It's what validates our transcript. Not that we need validating at all, because we don't. But it does show them that we are competitive and we can do well. And it's the measuring point they're going to look at, whether you're homeschooled or not. So let me talk a moment about the SAT. There are two sections. On the critical reading, there are two sections, passage-based reading and sentence completion. On the math section, there are two sections, multiple choice and student response. And on the writing portion, there are four parts, sentence error, improving sentences, improving paragraphs, and the essay. And like I said, I'm going to show you some cool strategies at the end. Hopefully you've downloaded the handout at collegeprepgenius.com/fingertipsradio. So, SAT, don't neglect it, even though it's a scary, dreaded test. It is very important, no matter what. Right now, according to the College Board, the average SAT score is around 1,007. That's math and critical reading. That's out of a 1,600. The average score to get into college is around 1,210. So that means the average student is 200 points below the average score to get into college. Now, that doesn't even count any top-tier colleges or Ivy League schools. So it's very, very important if your child's going to go to college, no matter how they end up going, even if they get free college, they still have to meet that SAT score. I meet students all the time who have full scholarships based on their athletic ability or a sports scholarship, but yet the score is so low they can't get into college. I want to talk about how you don't neglect the PSAT. And of course, I do have a radio show called The Secrets of the PSAT. So let's talk about the PSAT and success on this test. First of all, the PSAT is not a practice test. The P does not stand for practice. It stands for the word preliminary. And the full name is PSAT NMSQT, or National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test. This is the one test that when your child takes it in the junior year, they can pretty much write their own ticket to just about any college they go to. You've probably heard me say that we threw away 7 trash bags full of offers, including full ride, free tuition, room and board, grad school money. All those offers came in our mailbox after my son took his PSAT in his junior year. You absolutely, to be successful on the PSAT, want to start test prep early. You want to put time on your side. Remember, I highly recommend that you take it in 9th and 10th grade, because the junior year is the only year it counts for scholarships. But in the 9th and 10th grade, and you can even do it in the 8th grade if the school will let you, but those 2 years, you can get that baseline score. It helps your child go in there, sit down, and be able to get familiar with the test, lessen that anxiety. And what happens is they will get their booklet back in November, and they will get their scores back in December. Now, as a homeschooler, you will need to use the homeschool code for your state, which you can find that online at the College Board website, or you can even Google it. For example, in Texas, the homeschool code is 994499. So those two numbers in the middle, the 44, are what my state, Texas, is alphabetically. So we're the 44 state. Now, once your student puts that homeschool code down, you will get their test booklet back in the mail. Now, if you fail to do that, the booklet will probably go back to the school, and it's possible you may never see it again. So very important. Now, the only difference between the SAT and PSAT is there is no Algebra 2 or essay on the PSAT. And, of course, it's shorter. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long, and the SAT is 3 hours and 45 minutes long. Now, there are 3 initial levels of awards. The first level of award is what's called commended. Then there's what's called the semi-finalist, and then there's what's called the finalist. Now, scores are going to vary for scholarships depending on what state you live in. For example, last year, to score the semifinalist cutoff in Texas, it was around 219. I believe Florida was about a 211. Alaska was about a 214. So whatever score your state is. Now, once your student hits that semifinalist level, then they can move on to the finalist level. Now, let's say they don't quite make it. Maybe they fall 5-10 points below that. Then they will fall into commended category. And there are some scholarships available, but the goal is to hit the semifinalist cutoff score. Now, once they become a semifinalist, it's very easy to become a finalist. And how easy is it? Well, listen to my PSAT radio show, and that will tell you how easy it is. Now, if a student becomes a finalist, they will take about 8,000 of those students to become National Merit Scholars. Another way to receive free college is be low income. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, we already are. We're homeschoolers. We only have one income. Well, let me tell you what I mean. There are 72 colleges that will give you free college based on your income. Now, certainly the student will have to still meet the minimum SAT score. Now, what they consider low income is anywhere between $40,000 to $65,000, but some of them will consider $100,000 low income. And many Ivy Leagues participate in this as well, like Harvard, Brown, Dartmouth, Duke, Princeton, Rice. Now, to find out more about this, you want to go to www.finaid.org/questions/no-loans-for-low-income.phtml. Now, if you didn't get that, when you download my 15 Secrets to Free College, that website will be there. And I'll tell you how to do that in the end. Now, there are also colleges that will cap their loans at $5,000. So, in other words, the most you will ever pay is $5,000. And to find out more about that, you can go to projectonstudentdebt.org/pc_institution.php. And, of course, again, that's on the 15 Secrets. And of course, there are actually colleges who love to give scholarships to kids with low GPAs. They call it We Love a Challenge. And their site is www.ctcl.org. And did you know that you never really have to pay more than 10% of your income to go to Harvard? It's called grading scale tuition. So let's say, for example, you make somewhere between $120,000 to $180,000, then you never have to pay more than 10%. So if you make $120,000, then you pay $12,000. And of course, that's cheaper than junior college. Now, another way to get free college is to eat your way to free college. That sounds like a great deal, right? Well, there's a really cool thing called U Promise. Now, U Promise is a program where you can actually get anywhere from 1 to 25% back on everyday purchases. When you sign up for the program, you know, this could be your groceries, your gasoline. There's over 600 retailers online that participate. There's over 8,000 restaurants that participate. So every time that you eat out or every time that you buy gasoline or buy something online, a portion of that money, up to 25%, will go toward your child's education. Now, the great thing about this is you can make it a family affair. In other words, you can have your friends and family all sign up under your child's name. So every time that they eat out, every time they buy gasoline or groceries, it will go toward your child's education. And to find out more about that, go to youpromise.com. Now, one of the things that you want to do, what I call ASAP, is that is to fill out your child's FAFSA. FAFSA is F-A-F-S-A. Now, the FAFSA is free money given by the government, and pretty much anybody that's going to go to college will need to fill this out. Now, first thing that you want to do is you want to set up a PIN number, and you can do that at www.pin.ed.gov. Now, you can apply as early as January 1 of your child's senior year. And here's what I recommend. Apply January 1. Because what happens is most people do not apply until April, usually because that's when they get their income tax back. And if you do, usually the free money's all gone by then. So definitely apply January 1. Now, to find out more about that, now you can set the PIN number up at any time. But to find out more about the FAFSA, go to www.fafsa.ed.gov. Now, it's very important that you go to that website. If you go to, let's say, FAFSA.com, FAFSA.net, there are companies who have actually bought those sites and they charge you to do the FAFSA, and it's totally free. Now, it does take about an hour to fill out the FAFSA, and they do have a worksheet that you can actually do ahead of time to kind of see where you're at. So I do recommend that you get all your stuff together before January 1st, before you fill out everything. They're going to ask you for things like social security numbers, and they're going to want W-2 forms. They're going to also want information about your tax returns. Now, certainly, most people have not filed their taxes on January 1, and that's often why they wait so late to fill this out. But what I recommend is that you basically estimate by looking at your last pay stubs. You can always go back in and edit later. So any parents' tax returns, if your child's a dependent, bank statements, that sort of stuff. So very, very important to start early. Now, again, regardless of how your child gets college, free college, scholarships, they're still going to have to meet that minimum SAT score. So notice that there are some questions on your paper. There are several questions on your handout right there. And remember, like I said earlier, every question can be answered in 30 seconds or less. So I'm going to give you a little bit of time to work those problems, and then I'm going to go over them. Are you done? No, just kidding. No, I'll give you more time than that. All right, well, you may or may not have got to all of those. Maybe you just paused the radio until you got through. But let's go over these. The first one is a critical thinking section question in the sentence completion. Although the eyewitness's story about the trolley car accident first appeared blank, the investigator was later astonished after viewing the tapes to discover it was blank. Now, in this case, many students will read a sentence like this and they pick a word that sounds good. Probably the wrong answer. Because remember, there's a lot of built-in tricks, tricky answer choices. Some of them are what I call same subject area or imposter words. But the key is to look for what I call key elements in the sentence. There's about eight. Now, in this particular sentence, the key element is the word although, the very first word. Circle that word. That word means that you're going to have opposite answers. In other words, your blanks might be positive negative or negative positive or something like hot and cold. Now let's look at the answer choices because notice how the sentence can go either way. It could at first appear positive and later be discovered negative, or it could appear negative and later be discovered positive. But of course, this is logic, so there's always a way out. So notice the answer choices, both A and D are both positive. And B and E are both negative. And that leaves you with C, the only answer that is opposite. Or in other words, a faster way to have done this is know that you're looking for opposite answers. So look at the five answer choices and automatically just pick the one that's opposite. How'd y'all do out there? I hope you got that one right. All right, the next question. The math question. And you're thinking, okay, I didn't have time to do this or I didn't have a calculator. But it says, notice, for all values of X, what is the value of C? Now, they're not asking you to work this problem out. You could. And if you could do it the long way and take a lot of time. And if you did it correctly, you would get the answer 68. So let me show you the fast way. Notice for all values of X, what's the value of C? Now, if you look at the equation, C is the coefficient of X, which means it replaces it, which means we can eliminate any number that has nothing to do with X. So I can mark out 5x squared, I can mark out ax squared, bx cubed, d, all of those. Now that simply leaves us only with 3x plus 7, 8x plus 4. So all you have to do basically is FOIL only what you need to FOIL. So we would multiply 3 times 4, which is 12, 7 times 8, which is 56, and that gives you 68. Now, the last question in the writing portion is where students will be given a sentence that contains an underlined portion, and then they have to find the answer choice that is the best restatement. Like most new residents, the city's twisting roads confuse the Davis family for the first week. Now, most students are going to read that sentence, and then they're going to read all five answers. Waste of time. Because notice the recurring pattern that you see. Three of the answer choices, A, B, and E, all start off with the twisting roads. And two of the answer choices start off with the Davis family. So we know that right away we can eliminate two, possibly three answer choices. Now the key is that word right before the underlined portion, residence. We have to modify residence. So are we going to start off with the twisting roads or the Davis family? Absolutely, the Davis family, because they are the residents. So we can automatically mark off A, B, and E, 60% of our answers, and we didn't even have to read them. Now notice we only have two answer choices left. C, the Davis family was confused by the city's twisting roads, or the Davis family, who found the city's twisting roads confusing. Yes, C. It's clear, It's concise and it absolutely makes the most sense. And preparation, not volume, is the key to doing well on the test. So let's talk about how can your child earn $500 an hour for college? Well, first of all, they got to take some kind of prep class that's going to teach them the recurring patterns found on the test, on the SAT and PSAT. Remember, there's a lot of programs out there. You must always find out what they teach. And then once they learn the test-taking strategies, make sure it concentrates only the logic behind the question. And of course, they should learn shortcuts that teach them to cut their time in half. That may take about 10 hours to learn. And then, of course, they're going to need to go back over all the material they've learned. It's very important to really solidify the information so that they can apply it appropriately. They have to hear the information more than one time to really internalize those strategies. And that may take you another 10 hours. And then they have to figure out a way to remember all this stuff because there's a lot of information. I've created some acronyms that I use for every section of the test that helps students remember, you know, the steps to each section. For example, the dual passage section, I have the acronym DUAL, D-U-A-L. D, do each passage one at a time. U, underline the main themes. A, answer must match the correct passage. L, leave both passage questions until the end. So once students have some kind of acronym or something to help them remember, then they can write that at the bottom of their test booklet. And if they forget, they go blank, they freeze up, write it at the bottom of the booklet. And that will help them to remember if they happen to forget. And that may take about 5 hours to learn some acronyms. And then they're going to take about 25 practice tests. Now, these are over 3 hours long, so we're talking another 75 plus hours. Now, don't freak out when you see 25 practice tests. You know, does your child play sports? If they do they have to practice? Does your child play piano or guitar? Or maybe they take dance. Do they have to practice before they do a recital or before they play a concert? Certainly. It's the same thing with this test. If you don't practice what you've learned to reinforce what you've learned, then you're going to forget everything and then you're going to go to the test and then you're just simply going to be confused because you'll look at a question and you'll remember that there's a strategy, but you're going to totally forget what it was and so you're not going to do very well. When I had a student that I taught the first time I went to China and he took my class in May. And he spent about 5 months practicing. So when October came around, he raised his PSAT score 59 points to put him in national merit range and his SAT 600 points. And his name is Nathan, and his video testimonial is on my website. But one of the interesting things he told me, he said that it wasn't until about the 15th test that he started to see the patterns. He started to see how the test came together. And it started to click. Imagine if this young man had stopped at the 14th test or the 13th or the 12th test. So it's very, very important to practice. And then, of course, they have to go back over their mistakes. Maybe spend a couple hours after each test, fooling test, seeing what they've done wrong, trying to figure out their weaknesses, seeing if they worked the problem a long way, what would have been a faster way to have worked that problem. Now, if your student put 150 hours into this test, and they received a $75,000 scholarship, that is like making $500 an hour for college. So where else can they earn that kind of money? It's a no-brainer. I just encourage you to make a plan of action now. Test prep can be added into your child's education. It can be an elective as test prep or study skills or life skills or even logic. So I'm a big believer in students being able to ace these tests because I know how life-changing it is and how your student can write their own ticket to wherever they want to go based on the test scores. I want to give you a challenge for your homework this week, and that is to ask your kids to sit down and think about possible college they may want to go to and do a little bit of research and find out how much it is. And then I want them to take whatever part-time job they may have right now, whether it's babysitting or mowing lawns, or maybe it's getting some allowance around the house, and then add that up and see how many hours it would take them to actually be able to have to work to earn enough money to go to their college of their choice. And then once they see that, then let them know that there's a better way, how just by incorporating 20 minutes a day of test prep or 30 minutes a day or a couple hours a week can really make a huge difference. This week I'm going to be offering my DVD set and or my comprehensive set on my website. If you want your kids to know how to ace the SAT and get that free college, I'm going to be offering $10 off coupon if you will use the code RADIO10 for either my DVD set or my comprehensive set. Feel free to go online and read our testimonials, read our blogger reviews. We've been on lots of TV shows. You're welcome to watch those as well. But I am excited. If you have any questions, you are welcome to contact our office at 817-282-7737 or email us at info@collegeprepgenius.com. If we can help your kids get free college, let us know. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.